The Lukewarm Church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And thus, this age of the visible Church of Christ is. Today is the 10th of October in the year 2020. Lukewarm, indifferent, and self-obsessed. In truth, those who practice religion are, in a sense, lukewarm. But in an even more troubling truth, they who do such things are frigid and like the barren fig tree. They are not capable of any heat or fervor, nor do they possess the capacity to bear any fruit at all. Why do you even bother? Do you think that by paying your tithes that you're entitled to be ministered to about the state of your souls? Where are your devotions? Where is the love for your fellow Christian? Where's the love for your neighbor? This sermon, short as it is to, God willing, serve as a wake-up call, to hopefully rekindle a spark, if there ever was one, to the professor of religion, to snap out of your slumber, that is, if you're able. Let's take a close look at this passage in Revelation chapter 3. Now, these are the words of the risen Christ, the King, the Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. That is, not the faith of the individual, but the faith of He who overcame the world. And mind you this, those who are listening, these statements by the Lord Jesus are not recommendations. These are the words of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not a means of self-help or character realignment. These words are a damning indictment to the state of this godless church age. Beginning in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. First and foremost, this last letter to the churches, and to Laodicea in particular, but in reality to the entire visible church as a whole, this letter is to those who have already made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. This is not, and I strongly emphasize, this is not, as the prosperity gospel preachers teach, a general call to the sinner. This is not something that is given out to a person who's never heard Christ before. These letters, these seven letters to the churches, were people who profess the faith. Okay? It has to do with you. You who are listening right now. In this 21st century, we are, that is at least in the United States and in Europe, the richest age in terms of money and property that have ever lived on the earth. Most people have jobs, okay? For those who profess Christ in particular, you certainly have jobs if you're a member of the local church. For how else are you able to pay your tithes without a job? Okay? And I'm going to digress a little bit from the written portion that I'm going to post for the PDF and say that, You know what? Forget it. You guys, the Lord says very plainly that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, how so? Easy. It's easy to say. It's easy to see if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And that is by your indifference toward your brethren, that is those who call themselves Christians, those who practice in faith and in truth. Let me ask you something. How can you keep the commandment to love one another as I have loved you if you don't even take the time to have a conversation with the person who calls themselves a Christian? I mean, think about it. This is the age of social media, where there's no excuse anymore to not talk to people. But yet, how is anybody talking about Christianity? I haven't seen it. I've been on social media for 12 years. I've been on AOL, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter. And there's lots of people that I've seen that actually, you know, make mention of Christianity. They post memes from Spurgeon. You know, they do all of that. But that's not talking. That's just a meme. It's a picture of some preacher with a quote. And this is supposed to serve as, I'm a Christian, this is faith, this is living proof that I believe. Think about it. You know I'm speaking the truth. And many of you, maybe you don't realize it or not, but you are doing this. And you yourselves call yourselves Christians. But yet you don't bother to really talk about anything important, like what's going on with you. You're not there to your brother or your sister in the Lord, ensuring that everything is okay. It's like going to the grocery store. You know, the clerk asks you, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, man. And that's it. That's not loving one another as I've loved you. Which, by the way, that commandment to love one another as I have loved you is actually directed to Christians. That commandment is for Christians. This is not a commandment for everybody. People who don't profess the faith, actually, believe it or not, actually care more about them and their kind than we do about ours. How can you keep the commandment to love one another as I have loved you if you don't even take the time to talk to them? How are you able to keep the commandment to bear one another's burdens? And again, this is up to Christians, people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. Think about it. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Can't you see? This isn't the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself as to show regard for your unbelieving Roman Catholic or Buddhist or even pagan neighbor. This is a commandment to love the one who professes the true faith, the faith of Christ, described in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And finally, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Not faith in Christ, not faith of the sinner, or faith of the believer, but faith of Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. These are commandments. They're not suggestions. Commandments are laws. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Not profess, believe. For there is no difference. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye, and that word ye means you all, you all who are Christians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Like you hear nowadays in all kinds of contemporary Christian music, people singing about how awesome they feel because of their decision. Okay? And again, I don't mean to digress from the main point of loving your neighbor as yourself. But this is all tied into it. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Not your faith, his faith. Two more verses, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the, what? Faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And last, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Author and finisher means that it has not one iota to do with mankind. No decisions here. All of Christ and none of you. Now, when you state it in this manner, and you look at it in this way, how then are you, the professor, fulfilling and obeying the commandment to bear one another's burdens? Look what Christ did for us. You know, Christians are disciples. The true Christian is an actual disciple of Christ, where he looks to Christ for everything. Where is it in Scripture, can any of you point out to me, where the Lord Jesus was indifferent towards his own disciples? And yet, there are so many of you out there who are indifferent to others who call themselves Christians. You don't even talk to them. You don't care. because it's all about you. Me, me, me. How then are you, the professor, fulfilling and obeying the commandment to bear one another's burdens? That is, it's like saying being a rock of support and encouragement towards your Christian brother or sister. How can you bear their burdens when you're indifferent toward them? When you don't inquire about their state, their health, what's going on at home, what's going on at your job, are you okay? Your mental state, etc. How are you doing? And be sincere about it. Not just how are you doing and then accepting that, oh, I'm all right, and then leaving it alone. Nobody is just all right. Especially now, in the age of the coronavirus. Nobody is all right. But then again, it's kind of hard to do when you're so self-centered, self-oriented, and all about me, isn't it? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you call yourself a Christian if you can't even do that? And I preached plenty of sermons in the last couple of months about what a true Christian really is. Okay, you know how many people actually downloaded that? Maybe 100. Maybe 150. If that. And those that did download it, they sure didn't share it. So, answer me again. How are you bearing one another's burdens? How are you loving one another as Christ loved us? You're not. Okay? Do you see now, do you understand why the Lord Jesus, when he's talking to these Laodiceans, these people who call themselves Christians, and he called them lukewarm? Can you see now and understand why this country is in such a state that it's in? Because of these generation of professors? They're all lukewarm. And I don't mean to laugh, but it's true. Lukewarm. And you know, just so you know that I'm not making this up, okay? When I say that lukewarmness is a state of indifference, let's have a look at the dictionary, shall we? Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word lukewarm. The first definition is moderately warm or tepid, as in lukewarm water or lukewarm heat. Okay, that's what most people perceive lukewarmness to be. But here we have a second definition. Not ardent, not zealous, cool, indifferent, as lukewarm obedience or lukewarm patriots, Revelation chapter 3. Okay, still don't believe me? Here's the word lukewarmly, an adverb. First definition is with moderate warmth. Second definition, with indifference or coolly. Not cold, coolly, but in a sense, it's frigid. Okay? Here's one more. The noun, lukewarmness. First definition, a mild or moderate heat. Second definition, indifference. A lack or want of zeal or ardor. Coldness. The defect of zeal is lukewarmness or coldness in religion. Yeah, this age of self is a real religion killer, isn't it? Lukewarmness in religion is akin to the barrenness of the fig tree. Now, I'm not even going to get into the barren fig tree, as John Bunyan did a far better job of it than I ever could. And I would counsel those of you who haven't shut this message off yet, who are still listening, if you haven't read the sermon or heard it, go and have a listen to it. Now, in closing, I told you this was going to be a short sermon because there's really not much to tell. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the generation we live in is totally screwed up. Okay, that there is a definite lack of zeal in religion. I mean, I'll give you an example. Sermon audio. Okay, Stephen Lee, you know, bless his heart for what he does, you know, and making this platform possible for all of us, is trying to use Jonathan Edwards, a book of his, to try to get this nation, to pray for the nation to repent, or to pray for the nation to have a revival or something. But let me ask you this. How on earth is there ever going to be revival if you're not even regenerated? Revival means to wake somebody up. True Christians don't fall asleep. Sure, they have, you know, moments of heavy zeal, light zeal, you know. They get distracted on times where, I mean, we're only human, but how on earth is this going to happen when only 220 people even signed up for the thing? How many ministers are on sermon audio that actually even bother to read their emails that they get? Think about it. Lukewarmness. Now again, what I have to say now to close this thing is to those people who have partaken of this particular ministry. But in general, universally, I would put this to every single person who has ever listened to a sermon here on sermon audio. Or whether you even go to your local church. Okay, because this next part has to do with your lukewarmness, your barrenness, your coldness. This is about saying please and thank you. I mean, come on. Us older folks certainly know better. Because we were taught, that's one of the first things that kids are taught. Please and thank you. You want something, you say please. When you've been given something, you say thank you. This is particular to those who entrusted, you know, that the Lord Jesus entrusted to me, the reading of the Puritan books and sermons that he brought on my heart to bring out of the 17th and 18th centuries to this generation. And not to do as others have done, to write a couple of chapters and then, you know, publish the book and, you know, make money off of it. You know, I mean, I suppose there's a place for it. I mean, if you're charging, you know, $5 a book, I mean, I don't see a problem with that, but some people have done way worse and have made it a, I don't know, a job, I guess, a paid vocation. Okay? I've served faithfully. I have served you, the listeners of Sermon Audio, all over the world. I've served faithfully. I've been faithful to the Word of God, not causing it injury, not causing injury to the kingdom of God. I have told you the truth without intermingling my sermons with quaint little worldly illustrations, as nearly every preacher does, and then using a bit of scripture to further illustrate what I'm attempting to say in my own words for whatever purpose the said message of the week is intending. And they all do it. Every last one of them. You get a sermon that's supposed to be on something, yet you get maybe 5 minutes of that. 5 minutes of scripture, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of something else. Okay? I have also served without asking for a penny from any of you. Not that any was offered, because it wasn't. I've hardly even been given any offer of encouragement. You know what the response was to my zeal and fire for God and His Christ? Crickets. Virtually nothing. I'll give you an example. To this writing or preaching, the total of downloads from this ministry, 239,450 downloads or streams in just under 6 years. The sermon audio lists my date of start as December 2014. You know how many times I've been thanked for it? You know how many times somebody actually just said thank you? Maybe 40 times, and that by less than 20 people. And I've seen it all over sermon audio, too. People preaching sermons, barely a thank you from any of them. And that's to all the people. I'm even talking about guys like MacArthur. Hardly any comments from anybody. Not even a thank the Lord Jesus for putting it on your heart and soul to serve. Or even a praise God for His mercy with regard to even having the books and sermons available for you to learn from. And you see why I get the feeling now that I've been preaching to the four winds? Why after, 4 years of blogging, I didn't get even a whisper of response to any of it. I don't know about the rest of the ministries who blog on sermon audio, but I might say that it's probably pretty fair to say that, you know, nobody's even bothered to respond to their blogs either. I mean, you guys act like customers. Like we're a service and you're customers. You know? We're obliged to preach the gospel to you, and just because you download it, then that's supposed to be your thank you. Guys, ladies, it doesn't work like that. The Lord Jesus did not give His life for customers. And again, this is what the Lord Jesus was referring to when He said, when He told those Laodiceans that they were lukewarm. Now, there are probably even some of you who haven't shut this sermon off yet that say that I am beating the sheep with a sermon like this. Well, you know what? I ask you this. Are you sure you're a sheep? And you know what? I'm not even asking for a thank you now. That time has passed. I mean, what good would it do to say thank you now that I've already brought it to your attention? And again, this isn't for me. This isn't about me directly. It's about you who call yourselves Christians and don't even act like Christians. Act like Christians if you really are one. Okay? Now, the things that I've been blessed to preach are ministry killers. But it's the truth. I preach to you now out of love. Even after the way I've been treated, still, I plead with you, if there is any spark in you, rekindle it, if you're able. Now, I'm going to finish the Daily Bread series. This I'm doing for posterity second, and the Lord first. Because it's my opinion that the scriptures and all the teaching in the scriptures, the sermons, all this should be free. It should be free of charge. I'm not against supporting pastors, but I am against tithing. John Owen was against tithing. Okay? I'm against supporting wicked ministers who give you maybe 5 or 10 minutes of scripture, 30 minutes of something that resembles a sermon, which really isn't teaching anything. You know, another 15 or 20 minutes of entertainment, and then you're out the door. You know, I mean, really, How are people supposed to be Christians when you only get an hour a week? And you could barely sit through that. I'm sure there are many of you that go to church and, you know, are thinking more about getting to the buffet in time than you are about listening to what that guy has to say. And it's no wonder. Because he's not preaching anything. And you're paying for it. You know, as to the other books and sermons that are unfinished, if I get an overwhelming reply or response to, hey, will you please finish these? I'll be happy to do it. Happy to do it. For then I'll know that this sermon I have, am preaching at you, I'm not preaching to you, for you, I'm preaching at you. Because I've tried the other way and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But then I shouldn't have expected it to. But I did, like a fool. But then you can't be a Christian without being a fool. You know, if you want to hear them, if you want me to finish them, I'll be happy to do it. You know, and it'll be enough to encourage me that my work wasn't in vain. And I feel like that. And not that it was in vain for me, personally, or for the sake of the kingdom of God. For nothing can be in vain where that is concerned. I know I'm elect of God, and I have zero doubt about that. I'm saying that it was in vain for all of you who downloaded it, as if you were customers to be served, yet it bore no fruit in you to even cause you to respond with anything, not even a thank you. You know, I have never looked at any of you as customers at all. And the last thing I have to say is this will be my last recording, aside from the Daily Bread. It is my prayer that God's will be done in the earth as it is done in heaven. Good night and good day.